Good morning. My name is Felicia, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE Investor Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Peter Von Lehe. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Hello, this is Peter Von Lehe with NB Alternatives, and welcome to the NBPE Investor Update Call. As always, the presentation for today's call is available on our website, www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. I'm joined today by my partner, John Boozer. John?
Thanks, Peter. As Peter said, the presentation, we hope each of you have it, and we'll refer to the pages of the presentation as we go through it. Starting on page one, just a reminder that NBPE is managed by NB Alternatives, a division of Neuberger Berman. Neuberger Berman is an independent global investment management firm with a 70-plus year heritage, over $198 billion of assets under management. We have employees across U.S., Europe, Asia, and South America, over 1,700 employees in total, and we're majority owned and controlled by the senior management of the company. Flipping on to page two, it's a little outline of Neuberger Berman Alternatives Group and our private equity platform in particular. We've been investing for over 24 years, have over $11 billion of commitments that we've managed, typically invest over $1 billion of capital across private equity funds and direct investments annually from our group. And we significantly leverage the resources of Neuberger Berman as we do our work. We have over 170 dedicated professionals in our private equity platform. And most importantly about this large platform is it provides us across primaries, co-investments, and secondaries, superior deal flow, very quality diligence of teams that are focused on one of those three areas, and great execution capabilities in doing transactions, whether it be in a primary investment or a secondary investment or co-investment. If you flip on to page three, it has some detail on NBPE in particular. The company overview is on the left side of the page. As you know, we're listed on both the Euronext Amsterdam Exchange as well as the LSE. Portfolio overview is on the right side of the page. Currently, the portfolio is valued at approximately $533 million. We're approximately three-fourths in fund investments and one-fourth in direct and co-investments. We pursue a tactical asset allocation approach with 38% of our net asset value being in special situations and distressed funds. And as you know, and as you'll see in upcoming pages, that's been a heavy emphasis of NBPE in terms of its commitments and investments over the last 3 years or so. We're well-positioned in the current market environment. 57% of our NAV was invested in 2008 or later, and you'll see some statistics as we go on about how the more recent investments tend to be those that generate a majority of the cash that we generate back to the company. Finally, we're actively pursuing new investments, both fund investments, direct private equity investments, and yield-oriented investments. Page four are some of the statistical updates as of the end of August 2011. I'll just hit a couple of those. The fourth line down, the private equity investment level, you'll see from the right-hand column, which was December 31st to the August 31st in the left-hand column, we've increased that level from 96 to 99% over the course of the year. In addition, as you move down the page to the last number, you'll see the net asset value per share has increased from $10.38 to $10.73 over the course of the year as well. Moving on down to towards the bottom of the page, you see the portfolio activity. There's been a significant amount of both realizations and investment during 2011. The capital calls and direct co-investments have been $55 million approximately year-to-date, and the distributions and sales proceeds that we've generated from the portfolio have been $143 million. As you know, we completed an asset sale earlier in the year, what we call it our strategic asset sale. But even setting that aside, $78.4 million of proceeds have come back. The private equity NAV fell during August as the market adjustments to the assets we took. And you see there's unrealized losses hit both the credit-related funds as well as public equities that underlie our portfolio in about equal amounts. These decreases were offset by $1.9 million of net unrealized gains on portfolio companies. If you flip on to page 5, we continue to hold a very broadly diversified portfolio. And again, we have heavy exposures to two asset classes, 38% into special situation distressed investments, and 33% into mid-cap buyout funds and co-investments alongside mid-cap buyout funds, plus additional investments across secondaries, growth and venture, and large cap buyout. Turning on to page 6, going back to the point I made a little bit earlier, a large portion of our portfolio has been invested since 2008. Approximately 57% of our private equity fair value as of August 31st was invested in 2008 or later. We think the 2008, 9, 10, and 11 timeframes are attractive, and we think those are high-quality investments we've been adding over the last 3 or 4 years. Page 7, one of the things we do across NB Alternatives, including in NBPE, is take a tactical approach to asset allocation. And so you can see, as I mentioned on the previous page, approximately 77% of the current fair value that was deployed in 2008 through 2011 was invested in special situations and mid-cap buyout opportunities where we believe high-quality opportunities on a risk-reward basis exist for our investors in NBPE and our other private equity platforms. You can see in the charts that special situations, for example, the lower left chart, 2009, 83% of the assets went in special situations and mid-cap buyout. On the lower right chart, deployed in 2010 and year-to-date this year, 66% went into special situations and mid-cap buyout investments. Page 8 details our cash flows from our recent portfolio activities since the beginning of 2011. And you can see on the left the capital calls and direct co-investments. We've invested $55 million and received back in the right-hand bar $142.6. And as I mentioned earlier, if you remove the $64.2 off the top of the right-hand bar for the strategic asset sale, $78.4 has come back from our investments. So we've had a quick return of capital investment pace. We've also, on the lower right-hand part of this page, we've noted the number of years that it took for each of the assets that generated distributions during 2011 to generate those. So starting from the bottom, the blue part of the bar, $21.2 million, are buyout funds, and the average age of those companies was 3.5 years. The next step up, the green bar, special situations funds, 2.6 years. To make the returns. A very small bar growth and venture funds there, 5.9 years, and then direct co-investments, 2.7 years. In each case, this reflects our belief that the best companies that investors invest in their funds or the best direct co-investments are ones that will yield a return not in a very long period, like 8 or 9 years or 7 or 8 years, but 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and the investors have a plan to exit, and if they meet those plans, you'll see exits and cash flow being generated. Page 9 talks about our philosophy of bringing more direct and yield-oriented investments into NBPE. NB Alternatives, we have a very experienced senior co-investment team with 75 years of combined experience. It includes former lead investors at small and middle market private equity firms. We focus a little bit differently on our co-investments and direct investments that we do in our portfolio. We focus on strategic minority investments rather than large syndicated transactions. We will not just invest at the outset of a transaction, but we look for opportunistic opportunities to come into the investments, such as add-ons, restructurings, and recapitalizations of companies that are already in a sponsor's portfolio. And with that very strong team, we do a bottom-up analysis on every single investment that we make, and we make assessments of the exit opportunities and look for those co-investments that have early exit opportunities. As you can see in the third bullet point, there's substantial deal flow of actionable opportunities with over 900 serious deals reviewed since 2005. As part of our goal to continue to expand the direct and co-investments in our portfolio, we've agreed to commit $200 million into the NB Alternatives Direct Co-Investment Program. We think this will give us greater access to co-investment transactions consistent with NBPE strategy of increasing exposure over time to direct transactions. This capital we expect to be invested over a 3 to 5 year period. We can also make other investments in addition to this program. This program will not result in any additional NB fees charged to NBPE. And in fact, a greater weighting of co-investments reduces the aggregate fees NBPE bears, as the co-investments typically come with no fees and no carry from the underlying managers, and then the much reduced fees and carries that are charged at the NBPE level compared to a typical buyout firm. You can see on page 10 some of our direct and yield-oriented investments that we've pursued this year. Since the last time we had a call, there are two new buyout co-investments on the page. One of those is Capsugel. Capsugel is a global provider of hard capsules to the drug industry and the nutrition industry. They are located in over 9 countries and have a worldwide presence in the empty hard capsule business. In addition, we invested in the RAC for Royal Automobile Club, which is a provider of roadside assistance for customers in the UK. We're very pleased with both those co-investments and look forward to their performance as we move forward. With that, I'll turn it over to Peter.
Thank you, John. As shown on page 11, we continuously update our portfolio evaluations based upon the best information available to us. Approximately 30% of the August 31 information John just went through is based on public market or private credit fund valuations as of August 31. The remaining 70% of the information is based upon June 30 valuations. Over the past few years, we have undertaken to give our investors greater visibility into the actual operating performance of the portfolio companies that NBPE is invested in directly or indirectly. Starting on page 12, you can see the results of this analysis. We conducted an analysis of our 50 largest buyout portfolio company exposures by fair value. 35 of these companies, or approximately $101.8 million of fair value, representing 19% of our private equity fair value or 38% of our buyout fair value, are best valued using a multiple of cash flow. That is, total enterprise value is a multiple of EBITDA. These companies are held at the weighted average valuation multiple of 9.9 times EBITDA and are levered at 5 times EBITDA. The weighted average LTM revenue growth for these companies was 11%, and EBITDA grew by 24% on an LTM basis. Of the remaining 15 companies in the top 50, 5 were financial institutions and valued at 1.39 times book value, and grew their book value by 17% over the last 12 months. 4 were power generation and utility businesses valued on metrics including price per kilowatt hour, and 6 were publicly traded, and those, of course, were valued based upon the market prices of those securities. On page 13, you can see this information broken out by industry. The bars on the chart show the revenue and EBITDA growth by industry, while the triangles and the squares show the enterprise value and debt multiples. Importantly, as you can see here, all industry sectors grew both revenues and EBITDA, and energy and industrials showed particularly as sectors. Turning to our special situations portfolio, you can see on page 14 that $200 million, or 38% of our private equity fair value, is in special situations. Distressed debt is the largest exposure within special situations with 62%, followed by our direct yield-oriented investments at 17%. We have smaller restructuring and turnaround exposures. Our special situations portfolio is 79% debt securities and 21% equity securities. NBPE has a strong capital position with $131 million of unfunded private equity commitments, but $72 million of cash and $250 million of undrawn credit facility availability. This gives NBPE excess capital resources of approximately $190 million. These figures, by the way, are before taking into account the $200 million commitment to the NB Alternatives Direct Co-Investment Program John mentioned earlier. But even including that program, NBPE will have a strong commitment coverage ratio of almost 100%. As you can see on page 16, the NAV and share price for NBPE have increased over the past 12 months. However, the share price has shown declines recently, consistent with the weakness in the equity markets. However, we are heartened by the fact that NBPE's NAV has held up better and believe that the portfolio for NBPE is well positioned for the future. During 2010 and year-to-date 2011, NBPE's cumulative trading volume on the Euronext and LSE was approximately 11.5 million shares. In addition, 5.7 million shares were traded off-exchange, including block trades. Together, this represents approximately 34% of NBPE's outstanding shares. Turning to page 18, NBPE has been active in buying back its own shares, and we have successfully launched our capital return policy. Since IPO in 07, NBPE has repurchased 4.2 million shares, which has been accretive by 52 cents a share. Since launching our capital return policy last October, we have repurchased over 1 million shares, which has been accretive by 7 cents a share. Under the capital return policy, the board has indicated that the company intends to, for each half-year period, return 50% of the net realized increase in NAV attributable to the ordinary shares to our shareholders. This may be accomplished by repurchases, dividends, or other means. For the first half of 2011, the amount of capital to be returned under this formula was $1.7 million. Since announcing this on August 25th, the company has repurchased 297,000 shares for $2.3 million. And by the way, that was at a weighted average discount of 28%, a discount to NAV of 28%. The company has already, therefore, repurchased more shares than the minimum stated under the capital return policy. Additionally, the board has allocated additional capital to the policy in excess of this amount, which it expects to be utilized in 2011. Turning to page 19, our ZDPs have continued to perform well and are currently trading at a 9.8% premium to NAV, or a 5.6% GRY based on the current market price. Finally, we believe that NBPE offers a compelling investment opportunity. NBPE has an experienced investment manager, a high-quality private equity portfolio, and a strong financial position with capital available for making new investments. With that, we'd like to open it up for questions. Operator?
If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star, then the number one for any questions. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Michael Stern with Marin Capital Management.
Hi there, gentlemen. Thanks for hosting the call. Two questions. First, I think this is the first call in a long time where we haven't had Doug Maynor, so I think it gives the opportunity to ask a question about staff changes, what's turnover been like, and who has left and who's been brought in.
Yeah, that's a great question. This is John Boozer. Doug has returned to school to pursue his MBA, so he's gone to the University of Texas. And we have elevated Spencer Bradbury to the position Doug was handling in terms of keeping track of everything on NBPE and being a resource for NBPE. In terms of broader staff turnover, we're always proud to point out that our full-time fund-to-funds team hasn't suffered from a loss of an MD, a SVP, or a VP for almost 7 years now. So the team is very much intact.
Okay, great to hear. Second question, the entire publicly traded private equity space has been punished recently by investor fear that the portfolio markdowns coming at the next quarter end are going to be difficult ones. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts or any insight into how large the remarks or the markdowns are likely to be for your portfolio companies when the next quarterly marks roll out.
Well, thank you for the question, Michael. We, as you know, we don't actually provide typically forecasts of what NAVs will be on a prospective basis. I think I would point out, though, that at least in the analysis that I've done, our NAVs tend to be more up to date than most of our peers. And I think that's because of both, frankly, the nature of the underlying investments, some of the credit investments, for example, that do give monthly marks, as well as sort of the quality of our admin finance capability more broadly than the alternatives. But while most of our peers tend to have fairly long lags. Because we're marking our public equities on a real-time basis, and that's 8% of our portfolio, I'm referring to page 11, and our credit funds that we get monthly marks on are additional 22% of the portfolio. For us, that portion that would be subject to any valuation changes just from the private marks as those come through is that 70%. And so obviously our public equities and the credit funds will go up and down each month, but you're getting that more on a real-time basis for that portion of the portfolio. So you have a lesser percentage of our portfolio than some of our peers that's subject to the larger changes that can occur by information only rolling through on a quarterly basis.
Okay, no other questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Ian Scaller with Oriel Securities.
Good afternoon. It's Ian Scaller at Oriel Securities in London. I've got a couple of questions. Firstly, just coming back to the August performance, and I guess it follows on from the last question. And Peter, I know you try and make sure that your valuations are up to date as possible.
Yeah.
Obviously, equity markets were pretty weak in August, typically down 5 to 10%. I would expect that to flow through to earnings multiples. I take on board the point you say about defensiveness. But, in terms of the unrealized loss of $5.7 million, I mean, that seems relatively modest compared to the move in earnings multiples. And then the other question was on realizations. I mean, you've had a very strong first half in terms of realizations, but how do you think the outlook has been impacted by the equity market weakness?
Sure. Good point, sir. Just addressing those directly. Just to be clear, that $5.7 million was actually on the credit-related fund. So that was actually the end of July to the end of August change just in the credit funds. Right. So that did not include information from buyout funds. And then actually there was $5.4 million of additional unrealized losses on the public equities on a look through basis. So those were the drivers for those two points. In terms then of the realization, and obviously, when valuing private companies, private equity firms use a range of different metrics, as you even saw with what we did of our 50 largest, right? Some of them were based upon EBITDA multiples, but others were based on multiples of book value. Others were based on other metrics. So there's a range of metrics that one can use in those contexts. Also, yes, you can have downdrafts from, multiples coming down, but you can also then have updrafts from the EBITDAs increasing as well. So those can offset each other. Obviously, you're hoping for multiples to be increasing and EBITDA to be increasing, but, you can have countervailing forces. So I don't think you can just say that public markets did X, so therefore the private valuations will do exactly the same. But obviously, you can't. You raise a good point. You can't delink the two. Completely. In terms then of the realization pace, you're right. I think we've had a good realization pace up until now. We are continuing to see realizations in the portfolio weekly, frankly. But I think it's a fair comment that it's harder for the realization events to keep going when you have this degree of market turbulence. And you've seen, for example, private equity groups go and announce that they're delaying IPOs of companies because of market conditions. And that's I think what one would expect based on what's happening in the public equity markets. Having said that, though, our focus is very much on making sure that we're invested in good companies that are, growing, they're growing EBITDA, growing revenues, and are sustainable for the long term. Also, our capital structure is strong enough so that, we don't need to go and have a constantly robust exit market to still have a strong capital structure. So, and the other thing I just throw out there is that this sort of market turbulence, while not good from the exit market perspective, is actually helpful from the perspective of people with capital who want to make new investments, because it means that valuation expectations of sellers are not as high as well. So that's the silver lining in that cloud that I think one shouldn't underestimate.
Yeah, and I would add as a corollary to that point, Peter, that as we noted earlier, 57% of our private equity fair value is investments made in 2008, 9, 10, and 11 when the economy was weak. So our investors went in during a weak economy and not with great robust projections for their companies, so they should be able to weather the storm better than perhaps an older portfolio might.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Louis Margolis with Select Advisors.
Good morning. Could you try to I was looking at the net asset value between December and August, and the return was relatively modest. Is that the correct way to look at that? Were there other distributions that I'm not counting in?
The net asset value per share, Lou, went from 1038 to 1073. We were up higher than that in July, and then had the pullback related to the drop in the credit markets and the equity markets that we described that reduced the NAV for the reasons we've described before. It was a bit higher, then came back to 1073 at the end of August.
It's about 4%.
That's right.
Could you comment on the Conversus announcements and activity and approach they're taking?
They're in a better position to comment on their situation than we are. What we can tell you is why we think our approach makes sense for us and our shareholders. We think that the approach that we are taking, given the strength of our platform and going and moving our investment portfolio towards one of direct investments and increasing our exposure to directs and saving that layer of economics, having that higher velocity of capital, and the greater transparency, we think is something that is beneficial for shareholders, and we think is a very good investment opportunity. Given what's going on in the market, we're seeing very interesting transactions, and think that that's good for our shareholders. We have also, though, gone and done we have the capital return policy, which has been effective in buying back shares. And as we say, we're doing more than we've already done in the last couple of weeks, more than the minimum amount that we said, and we'll continue to allocate capital to that policy as well. So we think it is possible and appropriate when you have a group like ours with a large platform that's able to source a large number of very interesting transactions across funds or co-investments or secondaries to go and to be both deploying capital attractively, but also to be going and returning capital to shareholders and doing accretive repurchases.
Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from David Goodenough with UBS.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. Question about the $200 million commitment. Is that actually to a Neuberger Berman direct investment fund, or are you just able to make direct investments without being part of a fund? And then secondly, That's a pretty large amount. I think you said 3 to 5 year program. Would that kind of preclude you from making other fund commitments to regular fund commitments?
The commitment we're making is to the ongoing NB co-investment program that NB has had for a number of years. In terms then of the excluding the ability for doing other things, clearly it's a meaningful amount of money, right? So it will be be a meaningful portion of what NBPE does prospectively in the co-investment area. However, we don't think that it would preclude NBPE from engaging in other investments as well on a going forward basis. Having said that, we do plan to maintain a conservative capital structure. So it goes back to that question, the questions that some of the people were asking about earlier in terms of the distribution pace. If our distribution pace it remains robust, then we would have a fair amount of capital available in NBPE in addition to that $200 million. And if the distribution pace slows down materially, then we'd have less available in excess of that $200 million. But we think in either case, this is not the only thing that NBPE will be able to do on an investment basis.
Okay, so you're saying, so it's not a fund that you're going into. It's just the ability through your firm, Neuberger Berman, which has a co-investment group.
We're limited in some ways on how on what we can say for securities law matters, and so what we'll do though is we'd refer you to the text that we have there, and we'll be giving additional disclosure prospectively that will describe things in more detail.
Okay. And just one other question on that point, but the co-investments that you've made up till now, they come from, some of those also just come from your relationships with the other with other buyout firms, is that correct? I mean, you can make a direct co-investment in a company based upon a relationship that we have with one of our mid-cap buyout firms, is that true?
That's correct. Certain of the co-investments that we have done are with funds where someone in the alternatives platform were an LP. In others, we're doing co-investments with firms where we are not an LP, but we otherwise have a relationship. And so that's been one of the strengths of the platform, is to be able to participate in transactions in both cases. And NBPE benefits because NBPE is an investor in an even smaller percentage of the funds where we're doing co-investments, but benefits from the broader NB Alternatives platform.
Great, thanks.
Are there no further questions at this time?
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone. And as always, we are available for one-on-one discussions if there's any further matters that people would like clarified. So once again, thank you for your interest and attention.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.